Welcome to week three of the Smoke and Soul Project podcast. This week, Dave and Cara have stops in Wagga Wagga, New South Wales, and Canberra in the Australian Capital Territory, with Vinnie's being the local charity partner in both towns. To date, the Smoke and Soul Project has delivered just under 700 meals to people sleeping rough and to people in need. And one takeaway from the first 3 weeks is that in each town, each charity partner is seeing an increased demand for their services. In some towns, the demand is doubling each year. And when asked how people can assist the local charities, the message is the same. They need more volunteers, more donations, and more advocacy. Alongside their 19 local charity partners, Dave and Cara continue to raise awareness of food insecurity and highlight the specific needs in each town they visit. In this episode, I speak with Shannon from Vinnie's in Wagga. Shannon outlines the growing need in their community and how they've adapted their services to meet these needs. I also want to share something that occurred this past week when speaking with a neighbour. The topic came up about Dave and Cara. I sent them a link to the podcast and the next day received a message saying, a very interesting story, what a beautiful family, have given a donation and will be following their story. And a shout out to everyone who has contributed to the Smoke and Soul Project through their donations on the GoFundMe page. And also to those who got involved at the very beginning. Phantom Screens, Charcoal Kings, Lane's Barbecue, Just Tinted, and Ampol Australia with their Ampol Cash Fuel Card. So if there's one thing I could ask of you this week, is to share the podcast with a family member, work colleague, or friend. Dave joins me after the break to share their experience in cooking and serving those in need in Wagga Wagga. Hey Dave, how's Wagga Wagga?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Yeah, no, it was, we headed on up from Albury, you know, headed over, I should say, from Albury. Wasn't that far, I think it was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Arrived in Albury early afternoon and wanted to make use of the early arrival. So we got in touch with Shannon, who runs Vinnie's, and we arranged to catch up with her. They'd been awesome. They had actually organised a space for us to use for this event. They had hired out the St Michael's Parish Centre in Wagga, which was just opposite the St Michael's Cathedral. Shannon and I had had several phone conversations in the lead up and, you know, had been sending each other things back and forth to sort of organise everything, and her support throughout this whole thing was excellent, and that makes things easy when you're organising an event in a space, in a town that you haven't been. So yeah, so we got to the St Michael's Parish Centre and she explained sort of what her thoughts were, and then we also had a good conversation about the issues of homelessness there. She said, yeah, look, it's, you know, there's lots of issues, several people living in tents near the river, lots of people in caravans, lots of people on the outskirts also. So yeah, she was sort of really painting a picture of the seriousness of, you know, homelessness and people who just can't afford to eat in that town. She sort of had expressed that, you know, she had posted things, sent flyers out, had tried to put the word out there as far as she was able to in terms of, you know, who we are, what we're about. And she said, look, you know, we could have anywhere from 50 to 150 people. So, you know, homelessness there is a huge issue. And she said she had put it out there, but we weren't sure about, you know, who to expect. So I said to her, okay, well, let's cater for around 100. And she said, yep, but that, I think that's a fair aim. So you made a decision. So they were expecting some low and slow. And it was a lunchtime, sort of early afternoon, 2 p.m. service. So I kind of really had to be smart with you know, how I was going to organize my food. I hadn't done hamburgers yet. So I thought this might be a good time to do some really good American style hamburgers, but instead of doing like a patty, you know, in a hamburger, I'll do pulled beef again. And, you know, I usually don't like to do the same type of food 2 stops in a row. We did pulled beef in Albury but I thought, you know, this is not, you know, we did tacos in Albury, so this is a bit not the same. So I thought I'll do pulled beef again. It was easy, worked out well, and I'll give these guys hamburgers, cheeseburgers with some pickles and sauce, just a really good hamburger, and then we'll do some corn on the cob and macaroni and cheese, which is sort of like a traditional American barbecue side, which I haven't yet served on this tour. So I thought that might be a good time to pull something like that out. And then, yeah, so told Shannon sort of what I was thinking, and she said, yeah, I think that'll be excellent. I think everyone will love it. And yeah, and then spent the following day after that going out sourcing everything. So yeah, that's sort of how things started off. Yeah, so really fortunate that they had, as I said, hired a space for us for free, which was handy because I didn't, you know, one thing with this whole, you know, with every stop, I don't want there to be any expense to the charities that we're partnering with. So she said she'd organised a space for us. We had a full kitchen to help prepare the food inside, and then we had an outdoor area which I was able to set my barbecues up. And the fact that she was able to get access to this space at zero expense, you know, was excellent, you know, and was handy as well. So yeah, so I certainly made full use of the kitchen that was there.
And how many people did you serve food to in the end?
Yeah, so I catered for around 100, and I reckon we would have served about 50, just under 50 burgers. It was a relatively slow service. We just had a steady flow of people sort of filtering in. I think, I mean, we probably had no more than about 20 people there at any one time. Everyone that who was there was just really thankful, you know, really appreciative of the effort. It gave us a good chance to have some conversations with people. We had a couple of families also, and these, you know, these families weren't necessarily homeless, but just really finding it hard to afford to eat. And so yeah, was just excellent experience to have them there. And yeah, everyone, again, everyone's interested in who we are, where we've been. Yeah, so I think Shannon was expecting a few more, and I sort of think she may have felt a bit bad that there wasn't as many people as she had anticipated. But you know, at the end of the day, all the food, I sent Vinny's away with all the food. It's going to get to people who need it. You know, she said there's a lot of homeless people that live on the outskirts of Wagga, and public transport there is not the best either. So she was like, there's definitely more people on the outskirts that probably, just given that we were serving right in the center of town, she said there's most definitely people on the outskirts that just probably couldn't have gotten in. She said the other thing too was service was on a Sunday, and she said public transport's not the best at the best of times, but then on a Sunday it's even worse. So I think, looking back on it, I think that impacted heavily on the amount of people that we served face-to-face. But look, you know, she said that food will absolutely get to the outskirts of town. I sent her off at the end of service with sort of half of the food I had there. She was really happy and said, yeah, no, they'll take it back and package it up, and it'll get sent out to those in need in, you know, in the areas, in the local areas.
That's terrific, Dave. Now you're off to Canberra, and after the break I'll be catching up with Shannon from Vinny's and Wagga Wagga.
I'm joined by Shannon from Vinny's to hear about their work in Wagga Wagga. Shannon, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thank you so much, Wallace, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to connect with the Smoke and Soul project, both in person and also virtually.
Yes, here we are. You're in Wagga Wagga, I'm in Adelaide, and it's amazing. 20 years ago, maybe we wouldn't be doing this.
No, and if we were, it might be a lot slower that these things happen. So,
Shannon, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Wagga Wagga?
Yeah, so St. Vincent de Paul Society in Wagga has a few different arms, I suppose I'd call them. We look after what we call emergency relief. So that's our volunteer-led welfare that we do. So our volunteers are the ones who can meet with anyone who is in need in our community, and they can help with things like emergency food relief, assisting with things like bills or clothing, really any of those sort of essentials that people need and are struggling to get because they're in crisis perhaps, or just, you know, the cost of living that's gone up and people, despite working full-time jobs, just can't afford what they're used to. And we also have a homelessness and housing service called Edelquin. So that has 16 beds, which is short-term accommodation for people who've been experiencing homelessness and helps them transition into some more permanent accommodation. But they also do outreach. So they go out and connect and do casework with people who are currently experiencing homelessness or temporary accommodation, whatever that looks like for them. So we have a couple of different arms going, but really what we do is see people often in crisis in some of their hardest times, and we do what we can to help. And we have our Wagga Vinnies van. So that is a relatively new service for Wagga. It launched this year and it goes out to people in the places that they live, and it offers food relief and also some hot food or sandwiches, depending on the time of the day and where it ends up. It's doing three different trips, but that's actually five different places already, and seeing a huge influx of people coming and asking for assistance. And I think really importantly, all of our services are about connecting people with what we call a hand up. So it's about how do we refer them potentially to other services that might be able to assist them with getting their feet back underneath them, with, you know, if it's other kind of factors that are impacting in their life, how can we connect them to people who can help them?
Now, Dave and Cara were there with the Smoke and Soul Project last Sunday, lunchtime. Can you tell me how that went?
It was amazing. The whole Smoke and Soul Project is just an incredible initiative. And we had a Sunday lunch, which in Wagga, we actually don't have any services for any not-for-profit, not just Vinnies, but over the weekend. We're very much a Monday to Friday, mostly around business hours kind of town. So having something offered on a Sunday was just an amazing opportunity. And we were really lucky. The weather was really nice. So we did have, you know, people coming in for that hot meal, and the ability we had it in a centre where people could sit down and just take their time and connect with each other and connect with us. And they were absolutely stoked with the food. It was absolutely delicious. The corn on the cob was very much appreciated. People were coming back for seconds for that. And yeah, it was such a nice chance for people to come together. And without any rush, without the feeling of any kind of maybe judgment or anything like that, or feeling like you've got to get in, got to get out. And we got to see members of the community who I personally am familiar with in the work that we do regularly, but were able to sit down and appreciate just a really amazing meal and something that they may not usually get just because of the style of food. And they were so impressed with Dave and his family who are all there helping serve, and really, really grateful.
How many people would have you had there for lunch that day?
So we had expected actually quite a few more. We only ended up, I think we'd say 35. people maybe came through. A few did take food with them for their partners or their neighbours and things like that. Yeah, we had really anticipated maybe with the need that we do see in Wagga, almost 75 to 80 like on a conservative guess. And a couple of the people who attended did say, you know, it's so strange that there weren't many people there, weren't as many people there. Unfortunately, I think sometimes when something is new as well, where I've done a lot of thinking about it. But yeah, no, what we were able to do for those people who weren't able to get there on the Sunday is then to use our services like Edelquin and like the Vinnie's van to give those meals to people in places and spaces that they are familiar and comfortable with.
So are you talking about spaces that are away from the city? Because Wagga's quite a big town.
It is, yeah, and geographically, it's definitely a big town, and our public transport system's not very good. It's pretty much a couple of buses that run, and not that regularly, and a lot of our spaces of high need aren't necessarily always going to be close to the centre of town. That is where a lot of our rough sleepers are, in close to the closer to Wagga and the centre of town and the services. But we know that there are people potentially experiencing other types of homelessness, like couch surfing or overcrowding, and they're living in the caravan park out at Forest Hill, or they're living in those houses out in other West Wagga sort of suburbs. So unfortunately, transport, the ability to get places is actually a huge barrier in Wagga in general, and it seemed to sort of impact this Sunday as well. But so, as said, we did get the food people. I don't.
Yeah, no, I'm just interested to hear, because every town is slightly different, and the things that people need as people supporting people in need is sort of similar, but it's also very different and very specific needs for each town. I'm just interested to know if you said it's a Monday to Friday town and the bus service isn't great, is there any bus service on the weekend?
Yeah, there is bus service on the weekend. And one of the things I did try to do when I was looking at the time, so we did it like a late lunch. We did it about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was I looked at the bus timetable, yeah, and I really did try to go, okay, well, when are all the buses coming close to town? And also give an opportunity if people miss that first bus, because it is at least, I'd say, an hour in some places, maybe a little bit longer, that if they miss a bus at, I think it's like one of them's like 12:15, then they can't get the next one until 1:15. Yeah. And if we run something, you know, right in that lunchtime hour, and, you know, in general in Wagga, you miss out, unfortunately. Yeah.
It seems like a real issue. I can understand why you've created the van to go to people.
Absolutely.
Shannon, are you seeing anything different from, say, 2 years ago in regards to the demands for your services?
Yeah. So actually, I've been working for Vinnie's now for about 2 years, and we have seen what I personally feel is a pretty dramatic increase of the needs for our services. You look at things like the New South Wales rough sleep account that comes out yearly, and even something like that, which said in 2024 when I started, apparently there were 6 people sleeping rough, and then last year it was 13, and this year 26. And that's something that, you know, the capturing of that data is actually potentially a little bit, it doesn't get the most accurate information, because we see in our people coming into our services, there's been a 9% increase in people coming in just to our homelessness and housing service. And we see over 2,500 people a year at our welfare centre, our Wagga Region 1. And that's a lot of an increase from a couple of years ago, but particularly people coming for the first time. So we have, it's about 1 in 4 people this past year have been coming to Vinnie's for assistance for the first time. So I think that says a lot about just how things are, that people who perhaps haven't needed assistance previously have needed to come and ask for things like help with just putting food on the table, or, you know, helping to pay the electricity or the gas bills so that you can stay cool in summer or warm in winter. And we've also seen that demand for trying to just to maintain tenancies has really, really increased, because in Wagga, the cost of rentals has really, really increased as well. So if you lose the roof over your head, essentially, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to get a new one. And if you do get a new one, it's very likely that it's going to cause incredible financial strain.
Shannon, with that increase in demand, there must be incredible pressure on Vinnie's and organisations like yours in Wagga to deliver services to these people. How are you managing?
Yeah, there is. There is an increase in demand in a couple of different ways, really. So absolutely, there is the financial sort of cost that increases as the grocery bills increase, the amount that we have to give out per person increases. And we give out hundreds of thousands of dollars to people in our community. And as mentioned, sort of give them some food and just basic necessities. But part of that is also around, we do talk about the time that it takes as we have more people coming in. We are volunteer led in a lot of what we do, and it takes up more of the time that we are open to see as many people as we're seeing. And unfortunately, our membership is an average age of, I think it's 79. And we have people who've been around with St. Vincent de Paul Societies as volunteers for 20 years. It's incredible the amount that they have given back to our community. But unfortunately, people do have health issues or they do want to retire. That's with our volunteers. But it's also something we see in our services is that we don't necessarily have as many caseworkers as we need to meet the demand. We do have to turn people away from our services. That actually comes down to funding on a larger scale. So I guess we can say we do the best with what we can, and what we do hope to do with everything that we are doing and will continue to do is to meet people where they're at and be as non-judgmental as we can, but also raise the awareness of things that people are going through and the myths that are held, and accept people for their faults as well as their strengths as they come to see us.
There are community organisations out there, be it sporting clubs or community clubs or individuals that would like to help you. How can they go about that?
I would say we would love some of your time. If people have a couple of hours that they can spare, volunteers are our, you know, I think we call it our lifeblood. It sounds sometimes a little bit cliche, but we run on volunteers because, you know, one volunteer hour can help up to five people.
Is there anything else that you need assistance with?
We do give out the physical donations. We do, if people, you know, are looking to maybe do a drive even around winter, we do winter drives where people might be able to donate blankets. And the ones that we need a lot more of tend to be things like socks and underwear, things you don't think about necessarily because no one really thinks about those when you're living quite comfortably, but a lot of time those really, really essential items are the things that, and things that you want brand new and clean, are the things that we would really love. But yeah, honestly, people being aware of what it is like in our community, that the biggest thing that people can do to help is pay some kind of attention to the things that are happening on their doorstep, and find a way that suits them to maybe give back just a little, you know, whether it is those physical goods being donated, whether it's a couple of hours. Now with our van, it can be out of school or work hours. We do those in the evenings. So that is opening up a new opportunity for people who do work during the day. We're pretty flexible. We have lots of different things that we're doing, and those volunteers are really priceless. You know, if you can donate $5, then donate $5. We are never going to say no to something people are able to give, and we really appreciate it no matter what it is.
Shannon, thank you so much for shedding a light on what's happening in Wagga and the work that you're doing. If people do want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
To get in contact, there's probably two ways. One way is if you are on Facebook, we have Vinnie's Riverina. Reach out through Vinnie's Riverina and we can, it just lets us, it's real time. We can essentially get back to you with those things. But otherwise, there is a phone number that people can call and they can ask specifically around Wagga, or even if you're in an outlying town, they can ask about it. That number is 13 18 12. So it's actually Vinnie's Assist. It's a New South Wales line, but they can redirect you to wherever you're looking to get involved with Vinnie's. And I guess if people are, you know, experiencing a rough time and they're looking perhaps for assistance, same thing, call that number and they can redirect you as well.
Wonderful. Is there a website?
Vinnies.org.au. It's quite a big website. So look for the volunteering or the how you can help tabs and they'll help you find your way.
Shannon, it's been great to meet you and thanks for sharing the insight in regards to what's going on in Wagga. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me onto the podcast, but also thank you to Dave and his family for this project and doing it off their own back, and such a beautiful way to connect people, you know, across states as well as in our communities. So thank you very much.
Dave, welcome back. You're in Canberra.
Yes, absolutely. I am in Canberra. It's wet. They are forecasting heavy, heavy rain here. It's kind of worked out not too bad because we're not doing a barbecue here. We're doing our second kitchen takeover. So be happy to be working inside.
So were you driving through the pouring rain?
Yeah, it was it was heavy. It was heavy, heavy rain, heavy fog, lights on the whole way over. Took us about just under 3 hours, I reckon. And yeah, I guess probably would have been a rather scenic road if I could see. But it was heavy rain, yeah.
So tell me about your Canberra experience.
So yeah, very similar situation we had to what we had in Bendigo, Canberra, Vinnie's again. They've got a space called the Vinnie's Roadhouse, right in the heart of Canberra. Excellent facility that they have there, actually. They've got a sort of commercial kitchen, dining area, and then they've even set up like a small library where people can just sit, hang out. And then they've got at the back there, they've got tables that they hand out hampers, whether that be clothes hampers, food hampers, toiletry hampers. So it's sort of like, as you go in, it's sort of separated into three areas. You've got your dining area, sort of like your library, little lounge area, and then you're at the back, all their hampers that they hand out. So yeah, as I said, very similar situation as we've had in Bendigo stop. Zero outside space, no parking, wasn't anywhere for us to set our barbecues up. But as I said before, it's not a bad thing because it was raining heavily. So I said to them there, look, you know, we did this kitchen takeover in an earlier stop and it worked well. Are you happy for us to come and do the same thing here? I'll come in with all my food and we can put something together. And Daniel from Vinnie's was like, yep, absolutely, you know, happy with that. So yeah, we headed on out and went to sort of source our food. And well, I suppose had to have a think as well, because they had some pretty, not specific guidelines, but they had some things that they wanted us to serve, in the sense of they expressed that they have pretty much the same thing every night. So they have a curry night, a stew night, a pasta night, and you know, various other themes every single night. So they were really keen for me to kind of go a bit outside the box, try and think of something that they hadn't had. you know, they were happy for me to be a bit creative with it, but at the same time they expressed, you know, these people are very used to simple food, so if you're going to go creative, don't sort of go too fancified and too outside the box. Still keep it simple, but try and come up with something that they haven't had or they don't eat very often. So so after several hours of looking up some things and thinking, and you know, came up with the idea of serving sort of like an Asian style barbecue in a sense. So honey sticky barbecue chicken with some garlic butter jasmine rice, and then just some pan fried veg. So I had those elements of veg, meat, carb, which is sort of like that's a consistent meal that they usually have at the Roadhouse.
Well, I got to say, Dave, one of the things that has blown me away over this first few weeks is the creativity that you've got when it comes to preparing these meals. Because when we spoke before you left, I'm thinking you're just going to slow cook everything. It's going to be the same thing at every stop. But I'm blown away by the creativity of your meal selections.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this was also just a bit of, I mean, this whole thing for me personally was a bit of a culinary challenge, you know. Like, I sort of, even though we're in different stops, different towns, I don't want to be serving the exact same thing, you know. I want to switch it up, vary it up, you know. I really am hoping to serve something that these people haven't had often, you know, haven't had ever, you know. Low and slow is obviously what I specialize in, but it's, you know, it's always fun to sort of go outside that and experiment. So yeah.
Wonderful. So how many people did you feed in Canberra?
Yeah, so they said to me that because they have pretty much a consistent regular clientele that they have every night, they said they pretty well consistently get 60 a night. It's usually the same people that head in there. So they said if you do 80 servings, because they said 60 people will be in, and then some come up for seconds, and then some come up and get a box to take away. So they said, look, if you 80 servings of food would be a safe amount, everyone will get fed, and some will have extra. So I catered for 80, and yeah, it was probably as spot on as we've had in every stop. No leftovers, everything was eaten. We had one, service was just about to end, and we had one portion of food left, and someone came in at the very end and snapped it up. So we had pretty well zero leftovers. So we served 62 people, but all 80 servings were handed out. So yeah, really happy with that. And you know, happy to also not have heaps of leftovers either, even though leftovers always are used, but it's, you know, it's helpful to not, you know, have any leftovers either.
Do you know you're a third of the way through your trip?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I don't want it to kind of, I don't want it to end. I want it to kind of slow down a bit. All this, the stops are rolling along, and I feel like I'm just getting into the flow. And you know, as you said, I'm a third of the way, and it's been so excellent. So I need to think of other words to use, because I listened back to the first few episodes and I did hear that I say awesome a lot. So I need to try and think of other stuff to say. But fantastic, awesome, excellent, all that stuff. It's all good.
maybe in the next car trip you can ask Charlotte for a couple of alternate words instead of awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't. I'm looking at your schedule and I'm not thinking it's going to be slowing down at all.
No. So, got a couple of low and slow cooks coming up. So Dubbo and Tamworth are both evenings. Like, service will be sort of 4-5 p.m. So got a good opportunity with these upcoming stops to do some low and slow, which is good for, I think that's what they're hoping. So, you know, lunch services are fun, but when it's just makes it difficult to serve that low and slow that everyone's expecting us to serve. But now looking forward to the next couple of stops ahead, and also looking forward to it getting slightly warmer as well.
I bet.
All the best to the family, and look forward to chatting next week.
Thanks a lot, Wallace.
Two more towns and many more mouths fed as Dave and Cara reach 7 of the 19 towns of the Smoke and Soul project. Thanks to Shannon from Vinnie's in Wagga Wagga for sharing the work they're doing in their local community. And thank you for listening and following Dave and Cara's Smoke and Soul project. Please follow and share the podcast with your family, colleagues and friends. Dave and Cara are off to New South Wales next, visiting Dubbo, Tamworth and Coffs Harbour for week 4 of the Smoke and Soul project. I look forward to your company on the next episode of the Smoke and Soul project. I'm Wallace Long. Thanks for listening.